Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chagiga daf Chav Zayin, the very last daf of Maseches Chagiga and Seder Moed. We left off on daf Chav Vav Amar Aleph at the second to last mission of the page, about five lines from the end of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, by Seymour Gertz, in memory of his mother, Margalis Bas Rav Shilam Alah Shalom, whose yard site was Thursday, and by the Salzburger family, Lila Nishmas Freda Bas Yaakov, whose yard site is today, Nisham Shav Aliyah. We thank all three sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So, as we said, we left off all the way on the bottom of Chavav Amar Aleph, and the Mishnah and the ensuing Gemara is going to discuss the requirement to be mitaher the azara after each regel, since the Yamei Haaretz would come and they would touch everything, and on Yantif it was okay, because on Yantif we assume that they're all tar, but then as soon as Yantif is over, retroactively we assume that they were tameh. So now we have to be mitaher everything that was in the azara. So the following Mishnah is going to talk about the process of doing so, and how they had to be careful never to be mitameh the shulchan, because you weren't allowed to remove the shulchan, and how the mizbechos you didn't have to be so careful about it because they're never mekabeltum in the first place. And then the Gemara is going to have a discussion about the shulchan and how the shulchan really shouldn't be mekabel tumah because it's a kli etza asur l'nachas, but it is mekabel tumah, and that's why they have to be careful about it. And the Gemara discusses why, if it's kli etza asur l'nachas, it shouldn't be mekabel tumah. So the Gemara says, well, maybe there's a gzeiras hakasuv, and the Gemara suggests as a possibility that it ultimately rejects that since it's coated in gold, then it maybe it doesn't have the status of a kli etza asur l'nachas, and therefore could be mekabel tumah, and maybe that's why they had to be so careful about it. But that's a major discussion in today's daf, is why it is that the shulchan is mekabel tuma, and they had to be so careful not to be metame it, because you can't move it, if after all, it would seem by the rules of Kabbalah's tuma, it should not have been mekabel tuma. Then the Gemara is going to discuss why Rabbi Lazar holds that the mizbechos are not mekabel tuma, that the two mizbechos are not mekabel tuma, and two opinions, whether the Chacham disagree with that assessment about the mizbechos being mekabel tuma. And then the Gemara ends with something very cheerful about how the Talmidei Chachamim are not subject to the Eish Shel Gehenim, they're impervious to the fires of Gehenim, and not only that, even Amei Haaretz in a certain sense are Malei Mitzvos Karimon, and therefore they're not going to be as affected by the fires of Gehenim. So let's begin with the Mishnah, second to last Mishnah on the bottom of Daf, Chavav Amar Aleph. So says the Mishnah, Mishover HaRegel, when Nematzah Yom Tov came, so Ma'avirin Al Taras Azara, the Kohanim had to take care of all of the Kelim in the Azara, to be Matbil all of them, to be Metaher all of them, because the Amei Haaretz were in the Azara during the Regel, and they were touching everything. Avar HaRegel Yom Shishi, but if Yom Tov ends, and it's Friday now, so lo Yom Ha'avirin, Mipnei Kvar HaShabbos, then they would not be mavir, then they would not be mitar the azara on Erev Shabbos, because the Kohanim were busy preparing for Shabbos, so it wasn't reasonable to expect them to be dealing with the tara of the azara at that point. They didn't have time to be mitar the kelim, so they would be mitar the kelim after Shabbos was over. So the Turi Evan raises the question, and why not on Shabbos? Ein Shavus B'Migdash, the Yisra being matpil kelim is only in Issa D'Rabbanan, and Ein Shavus B'Migdash, why not have them do it on Shabbos? Okay, so that's a kasha, but they would do it after Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Aflo B'Yom Chamishi Shein Kohanim Panuyin. Rabbi Yehuda says even if Yom Tov ends and now it's Thursday, so even then they wouldn't be involved in being mitired the Azara, because the Kohanim are not available then either. So there's only one line of Gemara in this Mishnah, and that deals with why aren't the Kohanim available on Thursday? What's going on Thursday? So Tana Shein Kohanim Panuyin Milahotzi Badeshen, because at the end of the Yom Tov they'd have this massive pile of ashes on the Mizbech that they had to take care of. So that was quite an avodah to take care of, to get rid of all those ashes. So that would take the full day. And therefore, they would, when Yom Tov would end on Thursday, they would not have time before Shabbos to deal with the Tahara of the Azara. Tos Rid writes that according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if Yom Tov fell out on any other day, they wouldn't be Matvil the Kelim on Motsoi HaRegel, because the Kohanim were not Purim. The ashes were always there at the end of any Yom Tov. They had to be Motsi the Deshen. So it would always wait till the following day. It just happens to be that if it was Thursday that they're being motzi the deshen, and then the following day is Friday when they're all preparing for Shabbos, so that doesn't work out, so they're going to have to wait until after Shabbos. But if it was if Yom Tov ended and it was Sunday, so they would spend Sunday being Motzi the Dasher, and then Monday they would be Mitar the Azara. Okay, new Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, continuing really the same idea of being Mitar the Azara. So the Mishnah discusses how that would happen. Ketzan Mavir and Altaras Azara. How would they be Mitar the Azara? So Matbilin as a Kelim, Shayba Mikdash. They would be Matbil, they would Tovel all the Kelim, Va'omrin Lahan, and similarly, during the Yom Tov, they would tell the Kohanim, who are Amei Haaretz, who came to the Heichal, Hizaru Shalotigu Bashulchan. During the Yom Tov, they would already, Chachamin of Barosha, they'd have to, you know, be forward thinking and realize that if the Shulchan becomes Tameh, they're going to be in big trouble. So they'd already warn the Kohanim Amei Haaretz, don't touch the Shulchan with the Lechem Apanim, because that we're not going to be able to be Matbil afterwards, because you're not allowed to move the Shulchan from its location, because the Pasuk says, V'nasata al HaShulchan Lechem Panim Lefanai, Tamid. It has to constantly be in place. You're not allowed to move it. So Kalakelim Shoyim Mikdash Yeshlem Shniim Ushlishim. All the other Kalim in the Mikdash though had backups. There were backups and backups to the backups for the Kalim for when they were out of commission. Shem Nitmo Rishonim Yavu Shniim Tachteyan. So that if the original Kalim became Tameh, they would be. They would have the backups in their place. The Beis David on the Mishnayos raises an interesting question from Harav Malachi HaKohen, the Yad Malachi. He says, I don't understand. The phrasing is off. It says, Kala Kelim Shahayu B'Mikdash, Kelim that they had in the Mikdash, Yesh Lahem. Shouldn't it be Hayu Lahem? Right? That they had backups? Yesh Lahem. So he says that the time is coming to be Merames, that even though right now it's they're missing, they've been missing for so many years, we shouldn't be Misya'esh, because just like there was a Gu'ula Shniya and a Bayesheni, so too there's going to be a Gu'ula Shlishis, a Bidin Beis Hamikdash, Meri V'Yameinu. So that's why we speak about it in present tense. That Yesh Lahem, it's still there, and we're going to find it, and we're going to bring it all back, and it's going to happen again. That one should not be Misya'esh min HaGu'ula. All the kelim shayu b'mikdash tutin and tevila. All the kelim that they had in the mikdash would require tevila and harav shemesh after yom tov, because the kohanim amei aretz would touch it. Chutz mi mizbeach hazav and mizbeach hanechoshes, except for the two mizbechos, the mizbeach hazav and the mizbeach hanechoshes, mipnei shein kekarka, because they have a status of karka. Karka is not mekabel tuma, because the pasuk calls it mizbeach adoma. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. That's at least Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. The Tos Yom Tov points out that the pasuk is only necessary from the Mizbeach HaNechoshes that was in the Mishkan. The Mizbeach HaNechoshes was in the Mishkan, but the Mizbeach of the Beis Olamim that was made out of Avanim and Sid and Zephes and Oferes, that certainly was Tahar. You don't need a pasuk to tell me that's Tahar. That plays by the normal rules of Tahara. It would be Tahar. It's only the Mizbeach HaNechoshes Shayu B'Mishkan, where by the rules of Tumah and Tahara, it should have been Tameh, it should have been Mekabel Tumah. I need a pasuk to tell me that it's called a Mizbeach Adama. That it's Kikarka, and that's why Rashi points out that the pasuk refers to it as a Mizbeach Adama. The Chamor Mneshein Mitzupin. The Chum say, no, it's because they're Mitzupa. It's because they're lined with metal. So the question is, what in the world does that mean? Are the Chum disagreeing with Rabbi Eliezer? Are the Chum saying, no, or are they agreeing? They're saying, I agree that they're not Mekabel Tumah, but for a different reason. It's because they're mitzupa. If that's the case, it doesn't make any sense. Because they're mitzupa with metal, that's a reason not to be mekabel tumah. That's a reason, yes, to be mekabel tumah. So the Gemara is going to work on what exactly the shita of the chachamim is over here. So says the Gemara first, Tana. They would say, we said in the Mishnah, they would tell the Kohanim Amei Haaretz that would come into the Heichal. So the Mishnah said they would tell them, don't touch the Shulchan. But the Braisa adds, Hizaru, Shema Tigu B'Shulchan, Uba Menorah. They would tell them, not only don't touch Shulchan, don't touch the menorah either, because if you're Matami the menorah, we have no fix for that either. V'tani dan maitai melotani menorah. Why didn't our Mishnah say that they would warn them not to touch the menorah? Why did the Mishnah limit the warning only to the Shulchan? So v'shulchan k'siv beitamid. It's because by the Shulchan it says tamid, so the Tana of our Mishnah holds that it's dafka by the Shulchan that they had to warn them. Menorah lo k'siv batamid. The menorah doesn't say that it has to be lit constantly. The Shulchan has to have the lechem apanim on it constantly. So there's no way to remove the Shulchan, because you can't take the lechem and be tovel, because you can't take the lechem apanim off of
of the shulchan. But the menorah does not need to be lit constantly, and since it doesn't need to be lit constantly, just wait till the fire goes out, then you could be tova lit, it wouldn't be a problem. So that's why it disagrees with the Tana of the Braisa, who holds that that they would warn, and the Tana of the Mishnah holds that they would not warn them about the menorah. Now, it's a little bit funny that we say lo ksiv ba tamid, that it doesn't say tamid by the menorah. It absolutely does say tamid in the Torah by the menorah. Yaruch ha'sa'arun uvalim me'erev al boker lefnei Hashem, and that it has to be that it has to be erev aboker, it has to be constant. It says tamid by the menorah. So what it means is that when we say that it's got to be erev aboker, it means that you light it each evening and it would stay lit until the boker, like the lashon of tamid by the carbon tamid. That by carbon tamid, it's not a mitzvah to be makriv carbon tamid all day long. It's a mitzvah to be makriv the carbon tamid once in the morning, once in the afternoon. So it's consistent rather than constant. So even though the Torah many times refers to the menorah as something that's tamid, but that only means tamid in the sense of erev uboker, tamid in the sense of consistent, not in the sense of constant. And therefore, that's why the Tana of our Mishnah says that it's okay if they were metame the menorah, they could still be tova lit when it's not actually lit. V'idach, what about the Tana of the Braisa who holds that they had to be so careful about the menorah as well? He says they couldn't move the menorah for a different reason. Kivan duchsiv v'esa menorah nochach ha-shulchan. It says that the menorah has to be opposite the shulchan. So the Torah says, kolzman, that the shulchan is there, it sounds like the menorah has to also be there. And the shulchan is always there, so the menorah has to always be there. So command d'chsiv ba tamid dami. It says if it says tamid about the menorah, just like it does about the shulchan. V'idach, and the Tana of our Mishnah, why doesn't he abide by that drasha that the shulchan has to be across from the menorah has to be across from the shulchan? And since they're not moving the shulchan, they shouldn't move the menorah. Ha'ulik ba'ala makabuda asa. No, that's just the pasuk telling me where it belongs. It's not the pasuk telling me that there's a din that it has to always be there as long as the shulchan is there. That every second of every day it has to be there in that exact location. It's just telling me, if you want to know where was the placement of the menorah, it was nochach ha-shulchan, it was across from the shulchan. So now we said in the Mishnah that they would tell them don't touch the shulchan in order not to be metameit. So ask the Gemara, why would the shulchan become tameh anyway? By the rules of tumah and tahara, a kli eitz that's not movable is not mekabel tumah anyway. Shulchan is a kli eitz, it's not metaltel, it's meant to stay in its place, you're not able to move it anyway. So by laws of tumah and tahara, it shouldn't be mekabel tumah. So why did they have to warn amei aretz not to touch it and be metameit? They couldn't be metameit if they tried. It was a kli eitz asul nachas. The Aruch explains that an asul nachas means something that's meant to stay in its place, v'lo yozuz mimekomo, and you're not going to move it. The shulchan is asul nachas because the pasuk says tamid, meaning it's supposed to stay there. So that's what, meaning normally when we say kli eitz asul nachas, we talk about like a gigantic closet that's not movable. It's just so heavy you can't move it. Shulchan wasn't so heavy. They were able to move it. It's physically you were able to move it. Halachically they weren't able to move it. That's what the Rishon LeZion explains, that even though the shulchan mitzal atzmo could be moved, malei v'reikan, it could be moved even if it's full, even if it's fully loaded with the lechem upon him. It's only because of the iser that you're not allowed to be metaltalit. That's also called enu metaltal malei v'reikan. Sometimes we define things not by practicality, but we define things by halacha. So the halacha says that it's not metaltal, and therefore it's a kli eitz asul nachas. So that's the Gemara's kasha. Why do they have to warn the amei aretz not to touch the shulchan? Even if they touch the shulchan, they're not going to be metamiyat because it's a kli eitz asul nachas. So says Gemara, my time, how do I know that a kli eitz asul nachas is not tamei? Dumi, the sak be ina. In order for something to become tamei, it has to be similar to a sak. The pasuk says, v'kol asher yipal lameyam kamosim yitma, mikol kli eitz obeged o'ar o'sak. So everything kli eitz that becomes tamei is only similar to a sak because it's in the same pasuk. So mas sak mitaltel malivreikam, just like sak is something, sackcloth is something that's moved whether it's empty or full, avkol. So to every kli eitz, and so to the kli eitz that's mentioned in the pasuk, the other kelim mitaltel malivreikam are only mekabel tumah if they can be moved even when they are full. But a kli eitz asul nachas, which is not mitaltel malivreikam, it's not something that's movable both when it's full and when it's empty. It stays in its place, is not mekabel tumah. So we therefore have our kasha. Why is it that they had to warn the amei aretz, don't touch the shulchan anyway, the shulchan can't become tamei because it's kli eitz ha'asui l'nachasus. To that, the Gemara says, "Hai nami mitaltel mali v'rekamu." You're wrong. The shulchan is moved. They do move the shulchan. Kidreish lakish, dam reish lakish. Why does the pasuk say al shulchan atar? From the fact that it calls it a shulchan atar, mechal shutamei, sounds like it's roi to be mekabel tuma. V'amai, why is it roi to be mekabel tuma? Kli eitz ha'asui l'nachasu v'ne mekabel tuma. After all, isn't it a kli eitz ha'asui l'nachas, which is not mekabel tuma? Elamelamed shemagbiin also umarin bala oli regalim lechem apanim. They in fact would lift the shulchan, they would pick up the shulchan, and they would show the oli regalim the lechem apanim va'omrim lehem, and they would say to the oli regalim, ruuchi baschem lefnei hamakom. Look how beloved you are to the ribono shelolam. Siluko kisiduro, that the lechem apanim, when it's taken off of the shulchan a week later, is warm and fresh like the moment it was placed on the shulchan in the first place. And the Oli Regalim would see this when they would lift up the shulchan and show them the lechem that would come off of the shulchan, and that it was just as fresh as it was the week before. This was a miracle of the lechem apanim, that when they would remove it, it was the same as when they would place it. That it was warm like the day that it was placed there to begin with. This was not on Shabbos itself, because the Ritva points out, because on Shabbos it would be mesalik the lechem from the shulchan, so they didn't need to be magbiah the shulchan for other people to see it. This was in the middle of the week when Ali Regalim would come, and in the middle of the week they would lift up the shulchan to show it to everybody. That's how the Ritva writes, even though it's not really so mashma from Rashi that way. Now the Rambam writes that after the regalim, Matzoy Yomtov, the Bimatil, all the kelim that were in the Mikdash, because Amei Aretz touched them on the regal B'shas HaChag, like our Mishnah says, and therefore they would warn them, don't touch the shulchan when they would show it to the Ali Regalim in order not to be metameit. So the Mefarshim Medayik, from the fact that he doesn't say like Rashi and Tosos that they'd warn the Kohanim, he just says that they would say, tell the Amei Aretz. They would tell the Amei Aretz, the people who were around, don't touch the shulchan. How do the Amei Aretz have access? It's one thing you're talking about the Kohanim Amei Aretz. They have access to the shulchan. But how do the other Amei Aretz, Yisraelim, have access to the shulchan? So the Achronim are Medayik from the Rambam that they would take the shulchan outside of the Heichal in order to show it. That when they would lift up the shulchan to show it to the Amei Aretz, not just stand, they would lift it high in the air. They would remove it. They would remove it from the Heichal to bring it to the Amei Aretz to see it. So the Achronim raised the question, how are you allowed to do that? Then they're going to be mevatel the din of lefanai tamid. It's also not to have a shulchan with the lechem, even for a short amount of time. So suddenly Acharim suggests that it's a gzeres hakasav. The Siach Yitzchak says that it's a gzeres hakasav from the fact that it says a shulchan atar. The Torah is being megalat to us that you have to demonstrate that the Torah is being megalat to us that it's sometimes moved because it meklal shiitame. If it's sometimes moved, so it's telling us that there's a din that you're supposed to move it, and that overrides the din of Tamid. Or he suggests maybe since it would be Oker Almanas to put it right back, that's not Mevatel the din of Tamid, that it's only by a Tevila where they would bring it somewhere else to do something with it, that would be a bitul of the din of Tamid. But if they didn't do anything with it, they would just move it out of the way and put it right back again, so they were without doing anything with it, maybe that would not be considered a violation of this halacha of Tamid. Okay, says the Gemara further now. The Gemara asks, wait a second, why do I have to learn from the pasuk of HaShulchan HaTohar that the Shulchan is Mekabel Tuma? Typically, Mishum Tzipoy, shouldn't the Shulchan be Mekabel Tuma anyway? Because it's lined with gold, and gold is Mekabel Tuma, even if you can't move it, even if the Shulchan is Asur L'Nachas. It's not a Kliyetz, it's Metzupa Bezav. So anyway, it should be Mekabel Tuma. Nadi Behuda points out in the Tshuva, Madura Kama, or Chaim Siman Aleph, that the Tzipoy is Koveya, the din of the Kli. He says the tzipui defines the ikur tashmish of the kli, and therefore it's koveya the din of the kli. You might think the guts of the kli, or the core of the kli, should be koveya the din of the kli, but since the tzipui is koveya what the tashmish of the kli is and how the kli is used, that's koveya the din of the kli. This is very nogeya in Hilchos Tevilas Kelim. That's the context in the debut that discusses it, that if you have a kli that's a kli cheres, a kli cheres that you buy from a nachri does not require a tevila, but a kli zechuchis charis that you buy does require tefillah. So what if you have a kli charis that has a glaze over it, which every kli charis that we buy is glazed? So does that require tefillah's kelim? So the Yehuda says, if the tzipoy is chashuv enough that that becomes the kaveya of the ikar, of the ikar tashmish of the kli, then yes, it would require tefillah. So that's what the poskim say, is the glaze that we have nowadays, which is such a thin glaze, is that something that's a more protective of the kli? Is that something that's really going to change the very nature of the kli, to turn it from a kli cheres into a kli zechuchus? Some poskim say bitovel without a bracha, other poskim say it does not require tefillah at all, but that's based on this idea of a tzipoy. So anyway, so the Gemara is asking the question, anyway the shulchan should be makabel tuma, even if it is a kli etz asur l'nachas, because it's not a kli etz, it has a tzipoy around it, so it's gold. And the Gemara brings a raya that the tuma of the kli is nikva based on the gold plating around it. Itnan hashulchan v'adulfki shenifchasu. If you have a table or a chair that broke in some way, o shechifan b'shayish, or it's lined with marble, with stone, which is not makabel tuma, shir b'makom menachas kosos, but part of it is not lined with stone, just enough place to put some kosos, to put some cups down, tame, it's still makabel tuma, because it's still ra'ui for its original malacha. Rabbi Yehuda omer, makom menachas hachatichos, that it's not enough to have makom menachas hakosos that's not covered with stone, you need to have enough space that's not covered with stone to put your meat or your bread or whatever it is that you need. Only then does it still have the status of a shulchan and a dolfiki. But what you see from the Mishnah is that a kli is batel to its tzipui, because it sounds like if you were to take the shulchan and the dolfiki and cover it entirely in marble without leaving any makom, not for kosos, not for basar, not for lechem, not for anything, just cover it entirely in marble, it would not be makabel tuma, because it would follow the din of the tzipui of the kli, which would be a kli even, which is not makabel tuma. So if the dine tuma are nikva by the tzipui to be makil, to say that it's not makabel tuma, kol shkein in our case by the shulchan, we should follow the tzipui to be machmir and say that the shulchan has the din of a kli zahav and is makabel tuma. So why do they have to say the shulchan is makabel tuma because of a pasuk hashulchan hatar and it is moved? Forget about that. It's not a kli eitz, it's a kli zahav. So of course it's makabel tuma. So says Mar v'chitei m'shayni yatzei shitim. Maybe you're going to say, no, when you have a very cheap material that's lined with gold, then you're going to say that that the tzipui is what determines the shema kli, and not the core material, because the core material is garbage. But when it comes to something that's very expensive, when it comes to atzei shitim, which is a very chashva kind of wood that the shulchan was made out of, so maybe v'chiteima shiny atzei shitim techashivi lo batli, then maybe the atzei shitim are so chashv, they don't become batel to the tzipui, so the shulchan would still have a din of a kli eitz, even though it's covered in gold. Well, hanichal reish lakish, that argument would work according to Reish Lakish, damar lo shanol b'kli aksilogim aban mimedinas yam, who says that the idea that the tzipoy determines the shema kli is only by kelim that are not chashuv, like the kli aksilogim, whatever aksilogim means. Some say it means a material, some say it's a location where cheap kelim came from, but the point is it means cheap kelim. Aval b'kli masmim, but by more expensive and chashuv kelim, lo batli, then it's not going to become batul to the tzipoy. So shapir, so then I understand that the atzei shitim, since it's very chashuv, is not going to become batul to the tzipoy. Memela to kli eitz asur l'nachas, if not for the pasuk that hashulchan atar that tells me that they would move it, and that's why it's mekabel tuma. El Rabbi Yochanan damar afilu b'kli masmim, b'kli masmim nami batli. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that even cheap kelim, even rather expensive kelim, become batel to the tzipui, so ma'ikel meimer. So then the shulchan, no matter, even though it's made out of very expensive wood, should not have a din of a kli eitz. It should have a din of a kli zahav. Kli zahav are mekabel tuma, even if you don't move them. I don't need exeris hakasovich vip. Pashut that they're mekabel tuma. So the Gemara tries to be metarit in a different way. Chitema kan b'tzipo yomid, kan b'tzipo sheni yomid. Maybe there are two types of platings, of metal platings on kelim. Sometimes you have a metal plating that's really attached with screws or nails to the kli itself, and that's where we say that it becomes the ikra kli, and the kli is batel to the plating. But maybe the shulchan and the mikdash just had a tzipu she'eno omed. It wasn't really attached, it was just around it, but not attached to it, and therefore maybe it's still has the din of a kliyetz. So Abaymine Reish Lakish from Rabbi Yochanan, but we know Reish Lakish asked the shayla of Rabbi Yochanan, b'tzipui omeid or b'tzipui sheinu omeid. When we say that a kli is batel to the tzipui, and that we always follow the plating and not the core kli, is that only by tzipui omeid, when the tzipui is attached, or even when it's a tzipui sheinu omeid? And you also ask, b'chofes levaz v'zav, is it only if it covers the rims around the edge of the kli, or b'sheinu chofes levaz v'zav, or even leviz v'zav, or even if it doesn't cover the rims, the edges around the rims around the edges of the kli? V'amalei loshna b'tzipui omeid, loshna b'tzipui sheinu omeid, loshna b'chofes levaz v'zav, loshna b'sheinu chofes levaz v'zav. And the answer was, it doesn't matter how tightly connected the tzipui is to the kli, and it doesn't matter if it covers the edges. It doesn't, either way, the shem hakli is nikva based on the tzipui. So you cannot be mechalik between the shulchan and the mikdash and the shulchan that the Mishnah was quoting before. So we're back to our kasha. Why does Reish Lakish need to tell me that there's a drasha to show me that the shulchan is not also the nachas and that the shulchan is mekabel tuma? Anyway, the shulchan should be mekabel tuma because it's a kli zav. It's not a kli eitz. It's not a kli eitz also the nachas. It should be mekabel tuma machmas tzipuyo, which should be mekabel tuma because of its plating. So we're back to that kasha. We had two attempted answers to that kasha. Again, attempted answer number one was maybe atzei shittim are different because they're so chashuv they don't become batel. But we rejected that according to Rabbi Yochanan. And then we said possibility number two, maybe when the tzipoy is not attached to it, it doesn't become batel. But we rejected that because that was a shaila that was discussed between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and they came to the conclusion that it still becomes batel. So says Gemara, possibility number three, Elashayni shulchan d'rachmana karya eitz. You're right. By normal rules of Tumah and Tahara, the shulchan should not have been a kli eitz. However, the Torah tells us that it's a kli eitz. So even though by normal rules of Tumah and Tahara, the shulchan, because of its plating, should have been a kli zav and not a kli eitz, Torah calls it a kli eitz, even though it's metzupa. So since it's called a kli eitz, it's not batel legabe tzipuyo, and therefore it's not roi lekabel tuma, if not for the fact that you have a gzeres hakasuv that tells me that it's roi lekabel tuma. Because the pasuk says in the nevuah of Yecheskel, when he shows the mikdash and the kelim, so it says hamizbeach eitz sholosh amos kavah. This is one of the difficulties in Sefer Yecheskel, because whatever the mizbeach is, it's not three amos tall. So whatever it's referring to, va'orchush. And so it calls it eitz. And the Malach says, you know what I'm showing you right now? This vision that you're having? That's the Shulchan, Hashem Lefnei Hashem. So it's talking about the Shulchan. It's not talking about the Mizbeach. And that's why the Pasuk calls it eitz. So you see that it's referred to as eitz anyway. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. Pasuk b'Mizbeach v'siyam b'Shulchan. Pasuk was talking about the Shulchan, not in the Mizbeach, but it started talking about the Mizbeach. So what's going on? How come it shifts from the Mizbeach to the Shulchan? Meaning it uses the term Mizbeach. HaMizbeach eitz shalosh amos gavoh is how the Pasuk started. And then it says, Zeh HaShulchan HaShel Lefnei Hashem. Zeh HaShulchan, you just told me it's a Mizbeach. So which is it? Is it a Mizbeach or is it a Shulchan? So B'yachem HaShel Kisham Mitzavayu, Kizman Shabiz Mekshkayim Mizbeach Mechaber Al-Adam, Achshav Shulchan HaShel Mechaber Al-Av. We're saying that a Shulchan plays the role of a Mizbeach. That when the Beis HaMikdash was around, Mizbeach would be Mechaper for a person by bringing whatever karbonos you need to bring. Now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore, the way a person achieves kapara is through his Shulchan. By being machnes orchim and feeding them on a shulchan, pasuk says b'chesed emes yichupar avon, that it's through chesed that we're mechaper avonos. So by being machnes areach and by bringing people and giving them to eat on our shulchan, that's how we achieve kapara. So this idea that a shulchan is domel l'mizbeach, that a shulchan is like a mizbeach, plays out in a number of areas of halacha. The Rama writes in Or Chaim Simen Kuf Samach Zayin that in the name of the Shibalei Aleket, that there's a mitzvah to put salt on the shulchan before the petziyas hapas, because the mizbeach on the mizbeach there would be makrav melech al kol karbanos. So that's what the Rama writes, that the requirement is to have salt on the shulchan. Shulchan Aruch says not necessarily that you have to put the salt on the bread, just that you have to have salt on the shulchan. That's what Rav Shechter thought, that the idea of putting salt on the the bread is only if the bread isn't tasty. But if you have tasty bread, there's no need to put the salt on the bread. So when you have challah on Shabbos, so you can just have the salt on the table and have the delicious challah without having the salt on the challah. But to have the salt on the shulchan is based on the Shibali Alek, and it's based on this idea of the shulchan being like the mizbeach. Also, Sefer Hasidim, another application, says that it's usher to kill a kina ala shulchan. You shouldn't kill a fly on the shulchan or something like that, because it's dumb on the mizbeach, and you shouldn't be killing these little insects on the on that which is like the mizbeach. Magen Avraham quotes that in Siman Kuf Samach Zayin as well. And probably one of the more famous ones, the Rokeach and the Shibali Aleket write that just like it's usher lahanif barzel ala mizbeach, so too you should cover the sack in Bishas Birkas HaMazon. That you should cover a knife at the time of Birkas HaMazon, because you're not allowed to be main of barzel and the mizbeach, so too the shulchan you shouldn't have at the time of Birkas HaMazon. You shouldn't have barzel. You can't not have a knife at all because you need to cut your food, but at least at the time of Birkas HaMazon you shouldn't have a knife on the mizbeach. This is the Beis Yosef quotes in Siman Kuf Pei. He says Kasav HaRokeach that we're mechasa sakim shas Birkas HaMazon because lo son of aleim barzel, because it's like a mizbeach. And he quotes the Gemara in Chagiga Chav Zayin that the shulchan is dumb on the mizbeach, and he writes v'chein kasav Rabbeinu David Abu Draham. And then he says another reason to remove the knife at the time of Birkas HaMazon. He quotes from he says Mipi Achaver Rabbi Simcha Shamati Tamacher. He says I heard a different reason from Achaver Rabbi Simcha that Pamachas Ayechem Mivarech Birkas HaMazon. That one time a guy was benching Ukshegi LeBirkas Bono Yerushalayim Meniskor Churban Abayis. When he got to Bono Yerushalayim and he remembered Churban Abayis, Loka Chasakin V'Taku Bevitno. He was so distraught about the Churban Abayis that he took the knife from the shulchan and he stabbed himself. And based on that, we remove it b'shas bracha. So both of these reasons the Beis Yosef said are brought in the Orchos Chaim, and it's noeg on Shabbos and Yom Tov not to cover the sakin. He says, but according to the time of Rabbeinu Simcha, there wouldn't be any chiluk between Shabbos and Chol, and you should do it on Shabbos also. You should cover the sakin on Shabbos as well. But he says, mikam alkam minhagen shal Yisrael Torah, the minhag is not to do it on Shabbos. So Beis Yosef says there are two reasons that you cover the knife for Birkas HaMazon. Number one, shulchan dam l'mizbeach, so lo son of aleim barzel. And number two is this episode that happened with the guy that stabbed himself. That's what the Bali Musar point out. Like, how big of a risk is this? Meaning, just because it happened once in all of human history, that's something that we're always going to be concerned about. Most of us are not, we're so spaced out by the time we get to Bani Yerushalayim, we're not going to get destroyed enough to do anything crazy like that. So that's what the Bali Musar point out, that the point is that we should remind ourselves that there was once a Jew who cared so much about the destruction of Yerushalayim that he was so distraught by it that it brought him to such an extreme. Maybe we could care a little bit. Maybe we could have a little bit of a concern about the Churban HaBayis. But it's so interesting because Beis Yosef says, on the nafkamina between the two reasons. He says, he doesn't call the nafkamina, but he says, according to the reason of Rabbeinu Simcha, we should even cover the knife on Shabbos. And according to the reason of that we said that, of our Gemara, that lo son of aleim barzel, so the mizbeach is not a mizbeach on Shabbos. Meaning, why wouldn't the shulchan is a mizbeach on Shabbos also lechora? Why would that not be enough? Why would that not also require Shabbos? Why is that enough kamina? According to both reasons, you should cover it on Shabbos. So that's the achronim are bothered by that kasha. So Magen Avraham writes that there's no binyan mizbeach on Shabbos. The son of aleim barzel is a din in cutting the stones for the binyan of the mizbeach. The binyan of the mizbeach could happen throughout the week, but there's no binyan mizbeach on Shabbos, and therefore it wouldn't apply on Shabbos. The first reason would not apply on Shabbos. Taz says that be'emes, both reasons would apply on Shabbos, but what Beis Yosef means to say is that according to this Chaver Rabbi Simcha, there's a hava amina that it wouldn't apply on Shabbos. There's no hava amina that it wouldn't apply on Shabbos according to our reason, according to the reason of the son of Aleim Barzel. Of course that's going to apply on Shabbos, but according to the reason that a person will be so distraught that they'll stab themselves, well, on Shabbos you're besimcha, you're ba'oneg, you're much more at peace with yourself, so it's less likely that a person would come to such an extreme when it comes to Shabbos. That's what the Beis Yosef is highlighting, that even on Shabbos, which is funny because the two Achronim, the Magen Avraham and the Taz, when they're dealing with this issue, say in exact opposite directions, right? The Magen Avraham says that that it doesn't apply on Shabbos. And the Taz says, it so obviously applies on Shabbos, it doesn't even bear mentioning that our reason applies on Shabbos. This idea of Losan of Leim Barzel is based on the principle of that you shouldn't have in Roy Sheyava Makatzere Tzalamarich. This is the basis of a number of halachos that we have throughout Shulchan Aruch. So halachi, you're not supposed to bring a sack and aruch into a Beis HaKnesses. You're not supposed to bring weapons into a shul, a long knife, whatever qualifies as a long knife, into a shul. That's based on, because the shul is Ma'aruch Yom of Shal Adam, when a person is Mispalel, and weapons are Mekatzer Yom of Shal Adam. Obviously, Pikuach Nefesh is a different situation, but generally speaking, you're not supposed to bring weapons into a shul. I have a piece on this in my second sefer in Siman Vav in Akron Olamo. Another area in halacha where this comes up, Mishu Brura and Siman Yeralav quotes from a Magen Avram that if you have to cut the chutim of your tzitzis, you should cut them with your teeth and not use barzel, because tzitzis are considered to be maruch yam of shal adam, because the Gemara in Shabbos says bavon tzitzis meisim banim shal adam kshem ktanim. So if a person fulfills the mitzvah of tzitzis properly, it gives him a sense of arichus yamim. Mishu Brura writes in Orchaim Sim Reishvav that al derech kabbalah you shouldn't stick a sakin directly into a fruit that you're going to say a bracha on, even if you hold the sakin in your right hand. And the reason is, Shulchan Aruch Rav says, is because it's shnei hafeichim benosei echad. The yamin is totzoas achayim, and the sakin is the koach of esav, that's makatzer chayim. So again, you have this idea of this conflict between that which is maruch yamav and that which is makatzer yamav shal adam. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. So we said in the Mishnah, kalakim shemikdash haylem shneim, that there were backup kelim for everything that was in the Mishnah. The Mishnah went on to say that there was a machlokas Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim when the Mizbechos were Mekabel Tumah. Rabbi Lazar said they're not Mekabel Tumah. Mizbech HaNechosh is Tichsim Mizbech Adama Tassel. He calls it a Mizbech Adama, and Mizbech HaZav Tichsim HaMenorah VaMizbechos V'Iskush Mizbechos Zeh L'Zeh, that it calls it Mizbechos. So whatever you're going to say about one Mizbech, you're going to say about the other. So Rabbi Lazar will say that since the Mizbech HaNechosh is not Mekabel Tumah, Memela, the Mizbech HaZav is also not Mekabel Tumah. Then the Mishnah said, but V'Chamor M'nei Shein Mitzupin. The Chacham said it's because they're lined with gold. Adrab, even the mitzubin in umitamu. What do you mean? Because if they're lined with gold, that's more reason that they, yes, should be mekabel tumah, not that they should not be mekabel tumah. So two ways to understand the chum. Eima v'chum mitamin mipnei shein mitzubin. Key word is missing. It should say v'chum and mitamin, that the chum taka are mitameit, because they're mitzubin. They hold that the mizbechos are tamei, do become tamei. V'ibay same, or the other version of the Rabbanan is Rabbanan and Rabbelezer Kamri. The Rabbanan are talking to Rabbelezer. My daite mishum de mitzubin. What's your svarat, that you're not mitar of the mizbechos because they're also the nachas, and you need to learn from a pasuk that they have a din of adama? It's because they're mitzupa. Mifto batel tzipoy in gabayim. Nah, the tzipoy doesn't count. The tzipoy is batel to the core kli. The core kli is adama, is also the nachas, and anything that's also the nachas is not going to be a problem anyway. So I don't even need a pasuk that refers to it as adama. It's also the nachas anyhow. Amr Rabbi Yehovah, Amr Rabbi Blazer. Talmidei Chacham are unaffected by the fires of Gehenim. Kal v'chomer misalmandara. It's a kal v'chomer from a salmandara. Umas salmandara shetolados eshi. A salmandara which is created from fire that burns for 7 straight years. Hasach midama ein ur shaletas bo. And if a person puts the salmandara, the blood of the salmandara on their skin, the fire, they remain impervious to fire. So talmidei Chacham shekol gufan esh. Talmidei Chacham who are made up entirely of fire, their whole bodies are fire. Tichsiv halo kol dvarei keishnu Hashem. It says kol dvarei keishnu. Talmidei Chacham are full of the dvar Hashem. They're always learning Torah. Salachas kama v'kama. Of course they're going to be saved from the fire. Ben Yoyada points out we're talking about a spiritual fire over here, so don't try this at home. It's not a Talmidei Chacham have no guarantees to be saved from a physical fire, but from spiritual fires, the fires of Gehenim. Amar Reish Lakish ein or shel Gehenim shalats b'poshe Yisrael. It's not only Talmidei Chacham, it's poshe Yisrael also. The Tosfos points out that's only if they're not poshe Yisrael begufam. Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Zayin is karkaf to the manach tefillin. Someone who doesn't put on tefillin is poshe Yisrael begufam. He is subject to the or shel gehenim. But ain or shel gehenim shalos beposhe Yisrael. Other types of poshe Yisrael. Kal v'chomer mizbeach hazav, and it's kal v'chomer from the mizbeach hazav. Ma mizbeach hazav she'ein olav elo ka'ovei dinar zahav. Just like a mizbeach hazav just has a little bit of gold plating. It's just the thickness of a dinar of zahav that's on it. And kam hashanim eino or or Shaletzpo, and they'd be burning things on it all day, and somehow the fire didn't affect it. It was a miracle that the fire didn't affect the Zahava that was on the Mizbeach. So Poshe Yisrael, Shemalein Mitzvos Karimon, Poshe Yisrael, who are full of mitzvos, like a rimon, like a pomegranate, Tichsiv, because the Pasuk says, Kepel Chamim HaRimon, Rakaseich, Altikrei Rakaseich, Ela Reikonin Shabach, that even the most empty ones in Klal Yisrael Amalei Mitzvos Halachas Kama V'Kama, all the more so that their mitzvos should be able to protect them from Gehenim. The Netzivim, Rami Sada, says, Poshe Yisrael is so Malei Mitzvos, not the Poshim I met. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean Poshe Yisrael Amalei Mitzvos Karimon? So he says, because every Jew does tzedakah and gemilas chasadim, and that's just part of the Jewish heart, that every Jew is always giving tzedakah, we're always giving charity, we're always doing gemilas chasadim. So that's what it means, it's Malei Mitzvos Karimon. It happens to be not every Jew gives to the right charities, but every Jew, Jewish people tend to be givers. Rav Shachter always says that there's so many people that give to stupid things. You know, he said he knows a guy who gave $1 million to a dog hospital in Saudi Arabia. There are better causes than that, probably. But we have this idea that we want to do chesed, so we're all Malei Mitzvos Karimon. So Halach is kama v'kama. So Tosfos raises the question in Masechet Erev and Daf Yotes, then why do I need to learn from a kal v'chomer for Salam Mandara that Ein Eish Shel Gehenim Sholei P'Tamid Chachamim? Even the Amei Aretz aren't subject to the Eish Shel Gehenim. So what's the advantage that Tamid Chachamim have over the Amei Aretz? So he says, because at least the Amei Aretz Pnei Mashchirim, it at least blackens the gold on the Mizbech, so the Amei Aretz are somewhat affected, they're just not entirely consumed, whereas the Talmid Chachamim are totally unaffected by the Eish Shel Gehenim. So Hadron Lacham B'Kodesh, Slikla Maseches Chagiga, Mazel Tov on the Siyum, and Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow Yivam. It's not as scary as everyone makes it sound. Don't be terrified. Okay.